This is the point where you're expecting a voice to come in. The voice, the reverb, the words that generally have no meaning. And as you focus on that, your expectations overshadow what's happening in your other than conscious mind. That's right. She's now tuned in to its favorite late night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. No expectations whatsoever. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. What is going on, America? That's right. So great to see you, America. And for the rest of the country, and continents that are listening, I don't feel the need to compliment you. America's got a fragile ego. It needs the compliment. You're all doing great. You're beautiful. Especially for my listeners in India. You're perfect, okay? I guess that is a compliment, but I appreciate you listening. You're fantastic. My listeners in China, are you listening in China? Hey, everybody, it's Greg Bornstein here. Welcome to Open Loops with Greg Bornstein, Conversations That Bend. Yes, if you didn't know the title by now, I think that second time it truly, truly landed with you. A little bit about me, of course. I am a cultural hypnotist, an explorer of all things spiritual, esoteric, metaphysical, paranormal, magical, hypnotic, fringe, conspiratorial, secretive, mysterious. You might call me an intellectual escapist. You might call me a consciousness disruptor. Put all those things together, I'm a looper. Because what is an open loop exactly? Well, get to that in a second. You see, my goal is to challenge your existing belief systems by bringing on guests and sharing myself radically unique ideas that are designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and force you to step into the highest version of yourself. That's what an open loop is. It's asking what an open loop is and then not answering the question. An unconscious provocation. A dot, 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 what J.J. Abrams calls the mystery box. Yes, so many wonderful things come from the mysterious and the unexplained and that feeling of going down the rabbit hole, wanting to learn more. This is a show dedicated to that and specifically the topics that, well, take us away from it all. Today's guest is a little less escapist than you might think. Sure, he does see the value of escapism, art, beauty, romance. However, this is by far one of the most, shall we say, academically supported episodes in some ways, because my guest is Guy DeZen, who is the host of Thoth the Scribe podcast. And his goal, well, you're going to hear about it. He has a philosophy background. He's an art teacher. He explores very wide topic ranges of discussion. I mean, it's interesting. His podcast is very interesting, but the thing that runs through it all is he wants to distill wisdom from the conversations. He believes there's a place for a world that is more wise. I enjoy Guy. He's very early on in his podcast journey, though he did also just release episode 60 of his. So, I mean, he is similar to me when I started last year, pumping out content and having very deep discussions. I had a great time being on his show, and he put out his show with me today, which we'll link to in the show notes, as well as his show in general, which is available on all podcast platforms. Guy is, he's fun. He's very deep. He's very, at times, sarcastic. However, he will cause you to question your reality in a way that shifts your perception. He may not realize that he's using hypnotic principles when he talks. However, he speaks in a very deep way. Being a student of his, I felt like a student of his. He'd be one of those teachers I'd go, yeah, I just love sitting in his class. I don't know exactly how it's all coming together for me, but somehow I just painted the most beautiful thing, and I think it's because of something that Professor DeZen said. Yes, that kind of integration. He's coming up for you. It's quite an interesting discussion. He's also Israeli, so props for that. I love speaking to people from all over the world. It's one of the best parts about this show. And speaking of people from all over the world, I'm going to be emceeing at an event called Total Disclosure, which is August 5th through the 10th. It is hosted by Watchers Talk, who is Omar Faizi. Interviewed him very early on about the secret history of the Illuminati. And Rob Yawks, his enterprise, beautiful, beautiful organization, broadcasting network, Full Spectrum Universe. He's been on this show a few times. They are co-hosting this, co-sponsoring this event. Full Disclosure is not the name, it's called Total Disclosure. Gotta keep remembering here. Total Disclosure, and it's just disclosing everything. I mean, much more beyond aliens, ancient civilizations, philosophy. We're talking, there's gonna be hypnosis on there, astral projection, animal communication, all sorts of psychedelic experts, people and experts in all sorts of things that they don't want you to know, that kind of stuff. It's a free 5-day conference with 55 speakers from all over the globe. I'm going to be emceeing some of the talks. It's going to be such a mind-blowing conference. The link to that is also in the show notes. I really hope to see you there. It's going to be fantastic. Total Disclosure. If you like Open Loops, please make sure to follow this podcast and rate the show, leave a review. Definitely helps get these conversations out there. This is a fun one. It's a little different than the typical Open Loops. They're always different, aren't they? Here we go. Enjoy Guy DeZen. Today on Open Loops, we have Guy DeZen. You're the host of Thoth the Scribe podcast.
Yes, it's not original yet.
But you know what? Let's start here because you're doing it very similar to me, Guy. This is why I was interested in talking to you. You talk about all sorts of things: art, history, philosophy, education, poetry, culture. What made you interested in starting your show?
Actually, this is just a honeymoon period, I think, of me podcasting, because I never done anything like this. I wasn't a podcaster or a broadcaster, shall we say.
Yeah.
And I never got into, you know, a popular social media and mainstream. I don't know, maybe podcasting is pushing its way into the mainstream as we speak. But it will take a couple more years, for people to understand what the podcast even is. Everybody knows about talk shows and morning shows and stuff like this, but nobody knows what a podcast is. It's a more, in some ways, it's more of a traditional way to talk, because there are talk shows that were highbrow, shall we say, talk shows from the 60s and 70s, like Firing Line with that douchebag. I don't know what his name is.
What, Bill O'Reilly or
Bill Buckley. Bill Buckley.
Oh, yes.
Yes. William Buckley. Yeah. So, but he was a smart douchebag, so it's good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you'll love him. You'll love Groucho Marx ripping on him on his own show. So
Oh, yes.
that's a
See,
great.
my uncle was just talking to me about that. He said, you have to watch that clip. Yeah, I love watching the old Groucho stuff. I mean, it's so
Me
good.
too. Me too. No,
Yeah.
that period will never resurface in the cycle of history, I think. All that vaudeville and
Yes.
all the racism, sexism, drinking and smoking, but it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, yes,
Yeah,
obviously we cannot
it's over.
have that stuff. Yeah, but no, I mean, I do wish there was a way for vaudeville to come back. I mean, I live for that stuff. Well, look, here's what this is a good question because look, I think over here in America, podcasts are too popular in a way. Everybody is doing a podcast. Everybody can start a podcast. It's easier. But in Israel, is it different? Do people know about podcasting?
Yeah, there are some, but the problem is the Israeli media is more, monolithic. It's not, it's the mainstream. We have maybe three major networks that also monetize from doing their own podcasts and having their journalists
Right.
and all the different media people that go and review all kinds of interesting stories. And they also establish their own podcasts. So it's very different. They're the most popular podcast, I think. I don't want to name names, but I don't care. He's a very famous Israeli basketball player, one of the only ones to play for the NBA, and he has great
Oh.
English, so he has great guests. He's very popular, so he has a lot of views. So I'd say he is the most popular. Just to get a sense, he has around 30,000 viewers or subscribers,
Yeah.
but that translates into a lot of persimony, shall we say.
Yes,
Yes.
yes. I was gonna say, Guy, I mean, do you think you could break the barrier here? I mean, given that Israel has so few, or it seems that there are the popular places where people go, popular names. I mean, you're in the honeymoon period here, but why not stay through it? What if you became one of the most popular podcasters in all of Israel?
Yeah, it's not exactly my dream, but
Okay, bye. Never mind.
yeah,
Scratch that.
bye. Thank you for watching. Yeah, don't forget to subscribe. Yeah, bam, 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 bam.
So you were just doing this for fun. You're just doing this for fun because you like these conversations.
Yeah, I really
Yeah.
like them. I like to discover the world. I like to meet new people. I want to get to know my own culture better. And through other cultures also know or to realize maybe that my culture isn't so I don't know, divisive and perforational, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, look, what is the significance of the title of your show, Thoth the Scribe? What did you mean when you
Yes.
created that? What does that mean to you?
It's mainly in the ancient world, shall we say, or from the time of the Renaissance period. It was a common key name or tag, shall we say, that represented wisdom. And I'd like to think of myself as a wisdomful person.
Yeah, a wise man. Yeah.
Wisdomful, yeah. I like to make up terms that sound. Yeah, I like all those.
Wisdomful. I like that too.
Yeah. Yeah, tongue twisters and stuff like this. But it's a generic term for wisdom, for learning, for yearning, for learning. Yeah. So I write poetry and I paint all kinds of things. I like to write short stories and plays. So Faf the Scribe, it seems like a proper name, I think.
So are you Thoth?
No, I am not, sir. I am not. But I do believe in some sense that the mythologies and the myth-making stories or creation stories have some kind of truth to them, because perhaps the Thoth, the scribe, wasn't a god or isn't still a god. Maybe he was a great person, maybe an important figure in the lives and the culture that the story stems from. So I tend to believe that, like a Gilgamesh or Odysseus in the Odyssey of Homer, maybe it's a representation, you know, of a great person. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Is that something that you believe in general about spirituality? I never understood fully. It's interesting, you know, when you go to Israel, especially when you do Birthright, everybody does the, you know, you get to the end of the week, everyone follows the tradition, everybody does it. But I remember talking to one of the soldiers who they have you meet, and I said, look, you know, you're doing all these traditions over here, and you respect all this, and you respect the Sabbath, and, you know, how much of the religion do you believe? And this guy goes, oh, I don't believe any of it. I don't know. I don't believe any of Judaism. I'm an atheist. I'm going, wait a minute, what? This is fascinating. So I think in general, there's a secular nature to Israeli relationship to Judaism. I'm curious. I mean, you bring a lot of spiritual people on your show. What are your beliefs spiritually?
Well, it's very complicated. To try to unravel all that tablet or a gobelin, we say, I don't know what is the tapestry, to unravel that tapestry.
Yeah.
It will take a long time. My arguments will not coincide with each other. They will have a lot of different themes running through them.
Interesting. So,
it's very complicated because I don't know exactly how to, you know, how to categorize my spiritual place or situation exactly, where I'm on the great spectrum of the philosophical tradition, if you want to put it like that.
Interesting. Yeah, I know. There, I feel that you have some philosophical position, some deep academic.
You can ask questions, you know, so maybe to better focus, and then I can.
Okay, let's start here. Are you? Do you believe the Bible?
The Bible, I see the Bible as essentially a kind of a broken phone, shall we say. It
okay.
started good. It started good with someone. Everybody agrees that there will be light. I am the world and God. I created heaven and earth and all that and everything on it. Let there be light and all that, all the good things. I believe I believe the story of the flood, but I don't believe, shall we say, all the characters that appeared. Maybe the flood was just some kind of a smaller flood, not something that engulfs the entire earth. So I believe that it was some part of maybe the Judean desert that it happened, I think. But people were not around to watch it in action, shall we say. Someone from our ancestral tree in the evolution saw it, and then through sign language that became a spoken word that became writing. So I think some of it is true, but just to press through all the different stories in the Bible, I have it right here.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's difficult. It is very difficult. You have to have, a panoply, shall we say, of historians throughout the centuries who can reassess and reaffirm or to revisit those stories and try to make sense of it. It's impossible.
Yeah, no, it is a very complicated document. It sounds that it's about as complicated as your views on religion. I mean, it's
Maybe, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, what could be okay. How about this? The Judeo-Christian God, Yahweh. This idea of this person in the sky that spoke with Moses and is holding us and is judging you. You have to do the right thing and all the stories about this Yahweh figure. What is your take on that?
Look, Yahweh, it's just another term, It's like saying Thoth the scribe. It's meaningless. Thoth the scribe is a more is a like a force of nature. I don't know. Nature doesn't have a literary force because nature doesn't know how to write and how to hold a pen. Nature doesn't think. Nature does. But that is exactly, the sublimation of God with nature. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Nature is a wrathful, unlogical, not consistent, doesn't owe you an answer. It's the same thing. God is nature. You don't know what will happen. You can pray to nature, and people do this in all kinds of ways. They pray mainly to their own nature, shall we say, and the nature of other human beings, but not to the force, I don't know, the force of the universe, whatever you want to call it. It is very, I think the deeper the rabbit hole goes, the deeper you will find that you don't have any answers. That's what I think.
Yeah. Now, I was gonna say, is there, you've had quite a few people on your show that have very interesting spiritual beliefs. You have someone that was talking about channeling nature. You've had people talk about the heart, art and the gut and living from that place. Is there
The literal gut,
Yes. I mean, is there is it have they told you anything that made you change your mind about the way the world works?
I gotta say, to be honest, no, not
Really?
yet, not
Interesting.
yet.
Why is that, you think?
I don't know. Maybe we don't have the time to connect with people on a deeper level, and to get to know them when we do all those kinds of podcasts and stuff like this, and we don't take the time really. And you've got to be honest that nobody really takes the time to get to know the other person before they interview them, unless they are great friends for long years and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So I think it stems from the fact that you don't really get to know the people that you're interviewing. There is little time to talk with them. Even Joe Rogan can't reach a person to his very core in a span of 3 or 4 hours. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen. So I think that's the reason why.
So these people come on your show. They have all these ideas, interesting ideas, and you're sitting there. I mean, what is happening for you? Do you feel your mind expanding at all? Do you just enjoy the conversation? I mean, what is, if your mind isn't getting shifted, what is inspiring you to keep doing new episodes? Are you hoping that there is a guest that will do that? I mean, what is your big goal here, guy? Very curious.
I like your questions. They are very journalistic in nature. You have that skill, that inquisitive skill. But I think I'm talking to people, and I look at a person, and I look at all the minor, you know, gestures they do with the hair, and the eyebrow, and the mouth, and how their eyes open and close. And I don't think about those things. I think about the intonation, I think, of the voice. If the voice has some kind of impactful, you know, rigor to it that is carrying across and trying to express an idea, but the language is just a tool, and it's very, very hard to bring an idea across the bridge when the bridge is so frail. You know, we're talking about a lot of, no, let me explain. A lot of ideas that are very, very hard to grasp. You know, it's like, I hate to use this term, but it's like quicksilver. Because it's been misused and overused for centuries. But I think to get to a core understanding or a shift in perspective, you have to let your guards down, and you don't know that person for a long while, and your psychological guards are up and up and up in arms, and you're not, you know, you don't want to contain or to receive that information, because you don't, you're not trusting of the person enough. So that's the reason I think maybe the shift hasn't occurred. But there were some discoveries that were very, because, you know, it's not exactly that the ideas they're not new. They're not particularly interesting to people who are not interested in them. And they don't think about those questions because they don't care. You know, there is the carnal kind of existence, plane of existence that we live on. And there is the philosophical kind of the idyllic world that contains all the knowledge in the universe. But people create knowledge. People create history. So I think I'm looking for people who are doing interesting things, as opposed to trying to reaffirm very important ideas, shall we say, that are spread across history and across cultures.
Yeah. This is I know I'm very much trying to peek behind the curtain of what your goal is with this podcast,
Oh, yeah.
which I appreciate you entertaining, because I mean, I'm probably too open about what I'm trying to do on this podcast with people, including expressing my debilitating self-doubt at times about the goals of what I'm doing. Just because, sometimes I'm going, is this really, what am I doing this for? Is this just for my entertainment? I don't even know. All those questions. So I guess my question is this to you. When, who knows how long you're going to continue doing this podcast? Right now, guy, if someone were to go to your YouTube channel, subscribe, which everybody, if you're listening, we'll put the link to that in the notes so that you can check out Guy's work. But yeah, for those people that are going to check out your work and listen to various episodes, what is your goal? What do you want people to walk away from these conversations with after they've listened to a few episodes of Thoth the Scribe?
Yeah, of course, that's the most important part. No.
Yeah.
No, I don't know exactly what I want from this. This is, like I said, again, this is just a honeymoon period for me. I'm trying all different kinds of techniques, and I don't want to delve into what goes behind the curtain. I don't want you to peek behind the curtain. No.
Sorry, sir. Oh, okay, that's fair. I should have asked your permission first, but yes.
It's very suspicious, very suspicious. But
Okay.
I'm thinking, no, I think what I'm trying to do with this, I'm trying to get to know different kinds of human beings. I want to open myself up to the world. I think, I really think,
So the people
because
are more important than the
just a
ideas.
moment, let me finish. I'm sorry, just
Oh, sorry. No,
let
go
me
ahead.
finish my
It's coming out. I'm
process,
sorry to disrupt the wisdom.
my thought process.
Okay, great.
So so you see a lot of people walking in the street in your quotidian everyday life, and you try to, you see another human soul, another person, and you want to get to know them as a human being, as another creature that is similar to you in a sort of the physiognomy or something like this. Like, it's a human, the human species. And I think you don't get to do that in everyday life. And when you can corner someone and to investigate and to know them as human beings and what they do and what they contribute to their own lives as well as the lives of others, that's a very special thing, I think. And that's what I think my goal is for up to now, shall we say. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to think about it.
I like this. I like it because it does seem that you are, maybe this is just from your experience as being an art teacher and being in that world. It seems that there is the surface of what you're telling us the show is, but also there's something going on, like I said, behind the curtain, some.
Art has a sorry, art has a very voyeuristic nature to it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all kinds of arts because people generally think that when people say art, they mean just paintings and sculpting, but it's not true. Art is a big plethora of different subjects and fields. I don't want to elaborate too much about this, but if you want to finish your point, yeah.
No, you should elaborate on it. I'm curious
Okay,
what you mean by this.
so I'll do. I will. I shall. No, but there are different categories of the classical arts, shall we say, like theater, and dancing and singing and architecture, literature, poetry. Those are the kind of main art. And then main arts, shall we say. And then there are paintings, sculpting. Later on, you have photography, and you have movies, and also music, of course, which is maybe the most ancient art that ever existed. Yeah. So that's my intention when talking about art.
Do you consider yourself an artist?
I don't know. Some people do. I don't know why. I don't know why, but because I show some people and I post my kind of poetry, my paintings. If you want to call them paintings, it's fine. If you don't, it's fine also.
What would you call them? If you don't call them paintings, what do you call them?
I don't know. Maybe experiments, because I'm not going, because I know the artistic process and what it takes to, you know, produce a painting or a sculpture or something like this. I can't dare to call myself an artist, because I have an idea in my head and then I try to riff it. And I riff it in any way possible, in any kind of media that I can control. You know, there are kinds of media that I can't control, like knitting or sculpting or ceramics and stuff like this. But I can control, or I'm sufficient enough, shall we say, in writing, in the poetry, in the stories, in playwrights, in kind of illustrations, sketches, paintings, shall we say. But that's what I do. I channel my thoughts. And I structure something that is, you know, acceptable, and then yeah. I put it up, and I consider it a great art. You know, I like to get high on my own supply, unfortunately. but I'm very critical of myself, so that's why I say no. I can't call myself an artist now.
Huh. I mean, in some ways it feels like this podcast is a piece of art for you, and in a lot of ways, and that you're not necessarily even, you think people's guards are up, but you're still sensing there's still something about human expression that you're trying to connect with. And perhaps, you know, when you're doing an interview with someone, what is your goal in that conversation? Are you trying to break through the podcast interview barrier that they put up, or what are you thinking inside your head? What's the method behind the madness?
The madness, the goal is the madness, you know?
Huh.
They say that what matters is the journey, not the destination, but I think when you find the destination, I think you should stop. I think when you finally find the destination, a logical one, shall we say, because there is some kind of end to everything, you know. There is a natural end. And I think when I find that natural end, I grasp it with two hands, because I try to do those kinds of conversations very, very organically with little preparation. But, you know, I have the sufficient preparation. You know, I read about this person, and this is nice, you know, it's nice to know. But it's not important. Nobody cares, you know? Nobody cares. People want to get the aura, shall we say, of the person. People want to hear another human being talking without filters, without guards, trying to expand and elaborate upon ideas that are so precious to every human being, I believe. So when you are able to do that, you know, culture and art and languages are just a tool. We have to bring ourselves into that endeavor at the end of the day. Yeah. Have to bring ourselves.
What do you so wait a minute, are you still an art teacher? Are
Yeah.
you are
Technically, I am. So,
I really wonder what being in a classroom with you is like.
it's a pain in the butt.
Is it? I imagine students though are walking away going, whoa, my gosh, Mr. DeZen is so, he's so, he blew my mind today. He was talking about all this deep philosophical stuff and I was just painting a rose. I mean, are you one of these teachers that are just inspiring kids left and right? I can't see how you wouldn't be.
I like to, you know, there is a term in the Hebrew that doesn't exist in English and is very pertinent or germane to what you're saying. It's called lachfor. Lachfor is to dig in someone's head. You know, get off me. Stop, drilling into my head. I don't know what is the correct slang term for drilling in my head or trying to stop bugging me or something like this. So as you can see, I try to catch myself when I drift too far, you know, because I have such a great passion for these kinds of things. I have, you know, I believe that art is, I talk to a lot of artists and they say that art is not a therapy, you know. It's not a solution for your life, for your existence. I hate that term, but it rings true when you say that art is a question, not an answer. And I hate the citations and quotes that people post everywhere and smear it on every part of the internet. But I like the nice graphics, you know. You have the nice graphics, and the most important part is to give kudos to who said it first.
So these kids are you're opening up that, well, actually, I don't even know. Are they kids? Are they university students?
No, they're not university students, but I hope that I will, I will be teaching university. But they are, 12th graders, so they're not the kids so much.
What do you think? I mean, you've done we're talking art, history, education, philosophy, poetry, culture. Is there anything in your experience that puts all of those things together? Is there is I mean, we're talking Thoth the Scribe, so wisdom. I think there's wisdom to be gleaned from each of those topics. But what do you think in your experience, is there anything, at least when you're going for an interview, that you think holds all of those different fields together?
The human being is the filter of all those things. No, nothing else. Nothing else. Everything is a subject. Sorry, an object. It's a tool. A culture. They are metaphorical. They are ethereal kinds of ideas. They're not concrete. The human being is a perishable species, a being that gets The sands of time, they run their course, and the
Wow.
sands, they drop slowly. And when you get to an end and the sand is empty completely, then it's your time to leave. So it depends. It depends on what you want to do in this earth. And if you want to worship a god, it doesn't matter. There is no such thing as a false god. There is such a thing as as an uncertain person, a person who is not certain in their reality, in their existence. And everybody is like that. There are people who think they have transcended humankind, and they can be, the ruling class, shall we say. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult. It's there isn't just one monolithic kind of institute or foundation or establishment or kind of a place that is that contains all those things. It doesn't exist. You can gleam, if I can use your term, gleam from different kinds of artworks that are trying to meld together or to integrate all those subjects and those disciplines, but it will never be just one monolithic thing. Even Jesus Christ, one of the most adored figures and deities, shall we say, that's if we are kind of heretics, and we will use the term deity, but it's fine
Right.
for the purpose of what I am going to say. It's fine. Even he doesn't appear as one person. He doesn't have a one codified image. He has all those kinds of images that are influenced by the culture, that the artwork stems from. So no, there won't be a unity of thought or thought
Yes.
in the arts. There won't be a unity. People will, put down different kinds of arts and will elevate others. It will always happen.
Yeah. Interesting. Do are you like this in daily conversation with people? I mean, do people have conversations with you and they're
This
going, yeah.
I'm sorry to say, but this is a daily conversation.
No, I gotta say, I mean, it sounds that
Look.
you live from this place of elevated thought, I guess I would put it.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe you
I
wouldn't want
haven't
to have it
decided yet.
elevated. You haven't decided if it's elevated or
No,
not?
I haven't. I haven't. Look, there are moments of grace, to use another Judeo-Christian term, but that grace fades away pretty quickly. But I take that moment of grace and inspiration to my advantage. I'm still an experimenter, shall we say. I don't want to use the other term artist, which is very loaded and very elitist, some would say. But artists, again, it's just a tool. It's just the term is a tool, the language is a tool. So you think look you think that people understand everything that is coming out of your mouth, but you can try to at least first understand it yourself before you dish it out, shall we say, to other people.
Are you hoping that your mind will shift? I mean, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, you definitely have strong opinions about things, I think, sort of what I'm taking away from this. Are you hoping somebody will come on your show, talk to you about their beliefs, and all of a sudden you're going to go, "Whoa, I never knew that before, and I'm so happy. My wisdom has deepened in a way I can't even express." Do you want that?
Yeah, I of course I want that because it will increase the adrenaline and the strain to my I don't know to my brain.
Yeah.
I'm not a biologist or whatever or a doctor, and I
Right.
don't care. But of course I want those kinds of moments of grace, but I don't anticipate, oh, the grace is coming. It's coming. Yeah. Well, it's a little bit rude to put it that way, but the grace, the moment of grace will happen. And when you don't expect it, it's the most gratifying, shall we say, kind of moment. Usually in those kinds of moments, I'm so beyond, shall we say, beyond happy. But
When's the last time this happened for you?
I think, look, when I have those kinds of moments, I grab a pen, and a paper, and I just, yeah, I race to find a kind of paper and the pen, because they are the world doesn't exist in those kinds of moments. Nothing exists. Nothing. Only the thought, the thought that came to mind, that sprang from the, you can argue it comes from the unconscious, but I don't know. I don't know if I can believe that, because that kind of elevation must be coming from something that is outside even your deepest unconscious. So yeah, you spring into action, I think. But I try to keep that, like a dream, when you dream and then you wake up and you say, what the hell? What happened? I don't remember. I don't remember the dream. So I there are maybe a small number of those kinds of dreams that I managed to put down on paper. But I don't know. You can analyze your dreams. You can be inspired by other people, and I'm hoping to get inspired by the stories that people tell me, because we are fueled by the stories that people tell us. We are a path-seeking species. We seek order and solace, shall we say, in everything that we do. We seek grace and benevolence whenever we go. We want to do the good and stay away from the bad as much as possible.
Yeah. Whoa, this has been you really have dug into my head today. That word that we don't have in America. You've done it. I don't know what the word is. I'd have to sort through various words. But yet no, this is really wild stuff here. Is the when you say you're in the honeymoon period for your podcast, does that just mean at some point you might just stop and that'll be it? You're done? You're just gonna do something else?
Yeah, but I don't. I never, cut things short. Sorry. I usually do it gradually, shall we say. I have a long goodbye, shall we say. But if I think this is something that is not useful, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy all the different things that I have to do in order to get it done, shall we say, to record and then to edit and all those kinds of things. I don't want you to peek through the curtain, you naughty boy. No.
Oh my
No, I'm
gosh.
kidding. I'm kidding.
No, I know. Well, I
But
guess I'm wondering for people out there that are listening that are going, okay, well, it seems that guy has created something as a way to connect to his own humanity deeper, to connect to the humanity of others deeper. And podcasting is the way you've done it. But if someone were to say, look, I love everything that guy's talking about. I would love to deepen my wisdom. And I don't want to start a podcast. And I'm not sure I'm an artist, but I want to have these unique experiences. What would you tell that person?
I would tell that person that he has to wake up in the morning. He has to look around where he is. Look, I'm not Jordan Peterson, and I don't
Yes.
care, and I don't care to be, but I like some of the things that he's saying,
Yes.
and I haven't read his book. I don't care to read it, I'm sorry to say. I think maybe he's a better speaker, maybe than a writer, but that's beside the point. I think that someone that is seeking to be an artist and, or to not be an artist, to be an experimenter, shall we say, and try to find a path into creative thinking and doing. Just try to look around where you woke up, and to look around to see the birds, to look at the sky, to make a pot of coffee, and then to think deeply about what they want. You have to realize what have you been doing up to that point. And why do you want to continue in that path? Or if you want to create another path, you are going to have to find to recruit a lot of different things, and to let a lot of different things to happen in your life. You have to open yourself up, and I don't want to be a kind of a guru or a yogi or whatever. I don't care for these people. I care
Yeah.
for what they do. I don't care about what they say.
Right.
So, sorry.
No, I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
So, to become an artist, it's a very difficult question. You have to be a very experimental person. I remember from what my professor said, English teacher, he said at the end of the course, he said that you have to experiment, you have to explore the world and all its different facets and all its avenues and kind of planes of existence, all the people, all the different locations, all the different sites and cultures. You have to experiment with everything, you know. You have to experiment literally with everything to be able to find what you're looking for. Unfortunately, it's a very rigorous and toll taking. I don't remember the term taking tasks. I don't know. Yeah, but it's a brutal. I don't know. I forgot. Sorry. It's
No. What were you even talking about? Well, I mean, this process of living creatively, living with this thought, the creative thought, and pursuing a different path in life that might be more artistic.
Yeah, you have to experiment. You have to experiment with everything. I'm sorry to say, if you
Yeah.
truly, if you truly want to, firstly, you have to be true to who you are and how you want to live your life. That is the most important thing. You have to have a schedule. You have to have order, because you can be the chaos. You can be the chaos and the maniacal, you know, demon, and do whatever, and to be very rebellious against yourselves, yourself, the society, and the system. But there is order. There is order to insanity. And in order to be able to live in insanity, to be yourself, to express your true self 100% of the time, you have to be, you know, you have to be a German soldier, a soldat, to have your life in order before you can express yourself fully. That's why I said I don't want to be a Jordan Peterson type figure. Yeah.
Wow. Really, you know, there is... I love it, the juxtaposition between keeping things in order, but also needing to actively make the choice every day to experiment, to change things around,
yes,
to pursue something different. That is, you're so right. Do you encounter a lot of people that just are stuck going through the same motions over and over again? Even in art school?
In art school.
Or at least your students. You know, the students you encounter, you'd imagine that they're more the creative types.
No,
but...
you got to understand that in that level of schooling, shall we say the 12th grade, people are actively seeking a career in art, shall we say. So there aren't people that fall by the wayside and don't care. No, they are a very serious bunch of people. They are creative. They are fascinating, I think, to me, because they are discovering the world, you know, and they are starting to discover, but there are a lot of discoveries to be had. I'm still young, relatively, and I have a lot of things to discover, but nobody will discover everything. But you have to try, always. You have to actively try and want and to be appreciative that those kinds of moments of discovery, fascination, and the boredom, the cloud of boredom of the human existence will be lifted for a second, and then you'll have your moment of grace, and you have a couple of doses, shall we say, throughout the course of your life.
Yeah, this is you're such a great speaker, Guy.
You
have really interesting perspectives on all this. You are truly, I mean, look, I asked what Thoth the scribe was, and you said you weren't him, but I think you are. I know you don't want to be associated with that, but yes, I truly, this has just been full of wisdom, and one of those episodes I'm going to have to listen back to, let it all soak in, because it was very enlightening and different. So that is, of course, Guy DeZen, the host of Thoth the Scribe, which you can find on YouTube. Find it on, well, are you on other podcast platforms too, right?
No.
Are you
currently? Oh, no,
yeah. Mostly YouTube.
I'm cheap, so that's
what... Okay, well, we'll put the links to that. Guy, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much, Greg. This has been a great journey, and I think maybe I'm learning more about myself and talking more. So
good. I'm so glad. It's been a pleasure. Guy Dezen. What a journey it was. Thanks, Guy, for coming on. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music. I want to thank you for listening to this show. Again, please follow the show, share it with friends, rate the show on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. Did you hear that part where Guy said he learned something today? Now, Egoic Greg wants to take all the credit, but there's no credit. He learned by expressing himself. He learned by talking. So that's my challenge to you. Learn something from yourself this week. Let me know how it goes. We'll talk soon.